NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
In a moment, we're going to hear from Louise Byrne, the political correspondent of the Irish Mirror. But before we talk to her, let's hear Verona Murphy, the Cion Corla, issuing a statement this morning on the issue of Doyle's speaking rights.
It seems to me that there is significant ambiguity in the wording of the Standing Order 170, paragraph 1 and paragraph 4. I will seek senior counsel advice on this matter before coming to an impartial final decision. Therefore, in accordance with my solemn declaration, that I will apply the rules as laid down by this House in an impartial and fair manner. And the powers conferred on me by Standing Order 75.3. I have decided that to avoid prejudging my final decision on that dispute, the following technical groups will be recognised for the purposes of any debate in today's proceedings pending a final ruling on the matter. Independent and Parties Technical Group, Independent Technical Group.
Louise Byrne, explain that for us, please.
So this has been a row for the best part of a week now at this stage, and it seemed for a long time that no one saw coming other than the government. But this is what derailed yesterday's proceedings and led to that chaos that we saw. Obviously, Michael Larry was involved in negotiating the programme for government, and himself, Barry Heenahan, Gillian Toole and Danny Healy-Ray, who were also involved in those government negotiation talks, wanted to go to the opposition benches. What Verona Murphy initially said was that she would allow that for today, but she would take submissions from the opposition and she would consider them about what to do going forward. Now, we saw what happened yesterday was absolutely manic, and that was because this issue was not resolved. So last night was the cut-off for submissions, and the Labour Party, Sinn Féin, the Sop Dems, People Before Profit, all of the other smaller parties and independents came together to object this. Verona Murphy looked over that last night and she said, no, you know what, there is ambiguity in the standing orders or in the rules, and until this is sorted in the interest of fairness, because don't forget her integrity and her objectivity was being called into question yesterday, she decided that the regional independent technical group involving Michael Lowry, Barry Heenahan, Gillian Toole and Danny Healy-Ray, as well as Carol Nolan and Manny McGrath, would not be allowed to speak today. They issued a statement this morning saying that they were fine with that. Verona Murphy has now gone to seek legal counsel, and we will return to this issue. But despite that email this morning, actually remarkably, Matt, it was still kind of on a knife edge at one point whether the Dáil was going to sit and whether Micheál Martin was going to become Taoiseach. The leaders of the opposition were meeting himself, Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, in government buildings this morning, and they wanted acknowledgement from the government that there was ambiguity about who was in the government and who was in the opposition, and that the rules reflected that and there was ambiguity there. And when they finally got that, and when they got confirmation that the Dáil Reform Committee will be set up and this issue will be sorted for once and for all by February 5th, they allowed today's proceedings to go on. But they were willing to stick their heels in, the opposition, and at one point it really didn't look like there was going to be any white smoke, but there was, and
Louise,
Micheál Martin ended up having his day.
It just strikes me, though, is there anything in the Constitution that requires a TD to declare at the start of a new Dáil whether they're supporting the government or the opposition? Because I would have thought, particularly in the case of independents, if they're not whipped by a party, they were free to make a decision on any vote whether they go in support or opposing the government.
Well, usually they are, and that is always the way it goes. But I suppose in this case, the argument was that they had fed into the programme for government and they had promised to support the government in good days and bad, as Michael Lowry said last week. So that is where this ambiguity has arisen. If you feed into the programme for government, if you come out and you say that you got some of your suggestions into the programme for government, are you an opposition TD? Are you a government TD? Who are you going to be tackling and who are you going to be questioning when all this is happening? So it's, you know, it's a kind of a narrow line, but it's...
It is. All right. Well, we're going to be debating that in just a little while. Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin and Seamus McGrath of Fianna Fáil will be with us in just a little while. So let's move on to the belated appointment or ratification of Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. Let's hear a little bit of his speech in relation to his hopes for democracy and cooperative Oireachtas and the core principles of what will be his governing term.
As I look at Ireland today, it is clear that there can be a degree of cynicism towards politics, and too often we dismiss the motivation of others, especially those we disagree with. I reject this. I believe in the good faith of those who seek to serve their communities in elective office. And I believe that politics remains a force for good, a force for positive change. I hope that we can have a cooperative Oireachtas in the coming years, where we try to emphasise positive discussion. For my part, I intend to remain open to constructive ideas from deputies from all parts of the House. When nominating members of the new government, I will address more specific policy points, but I think it's important to state the core principles on which I intend to lead the government. When reflecting on the legacy of republicanism from the 1916 generation of which he was a part, Sean Lamass always stressed the idea of responding to the needs of today and shaping the future. For him, true republicanism was not about following the past. It was about a willingness to move on and create new ways forward. He summed this up with his favourite quote from Padraig Pearse: "Every generation has its task." And for us today, for this generation of political leaders, the task is to protect Ireland's strength at a moment of real threat, while also addressing critical social needs. By any reasonable measure, this is a challenging moment in world history.
Now, do we know what his team is going to be, particularly at cabinet level yet, Louise?
It's starting to all emerge, and I've left my colleagues briefly who are keeping an able eye out in Leinster House dotted around the place to see who's coming and going. What we do know so far is Jim O'Callaghan will be Justice Minister. There were some questions over whether or not he would get that position, whether James Brown might get that position, or whether even Jim could be Attorney General. And as I'm sure everyone is aware at this stage, Jim O'Callaghan has been angling for that job and putting his name out there for that job during the general election, when he particularly took aim at Helen McEntee. And he, it seems to have paid off because he's going to the Department of Justice. Helen McEntee is moving out of Justice, as we already knew, but she looks to be off to the Department of Education, and it's understood there could be some kind of new dynamic in there and some kind of youth initiative within there. The other thing we know, which we already knew, is Pascal Donoghue is going back to finance. We knew that one as well, because it's the rules really under this rotating Taoiseach arrangement that if Fianna Fáil have the Taoiseach's office, Fine Gael have the finance ministry. So that's that one. I have my phone up to my ear so I can't see what texts I'm getting. So I'm going off my colleagues on Twitter. So I sincerely hope they're right. But it looks like Mary Butler is going to be the chief whip, which might come as a surprise.
That is a surprise. I thought people felt, on particularly for gender reasons and her performance as a junior minister, that she would be promoted to a full cabinet position.
Absolutely, and I think that's going to cause a little bit of anger, to be perfectly honest, in Fianna Fáil. I was speaking to some people over the last couple of days, and they were saying, you know, they felt Mary Butler deserved a senior ministry. They thought she was going to be going into the disability and children portfolio. It now seems that that's not the case, and she's going to be Fianna Fáil's super junior minister at cabinet, if that news is correct. Also, my colleagues reporting that Derek Cleary might be the minister for social protection, which is another interesting one, because we all thought Norma Foley was getting that role. So if that comes to pass, I think that'd be quite interesting. The other one that might cause surprise is Dara O'Brien might be out of housing, and he could be on his way to transport. So again, I'm relying on my colleagues here for information, and might possibly come off the phone to text messages informing me all of this or telling me it's different. But
that's okay. There's enough caveats there, Louise, and that's fair enough. Actually, there's suggestions though that James Brown is going to be the Minister for Housing to replace Dara O'Brien, that's going to be his promotion, having been a junior minister in the Department of Justice previously, wasn't he?
That's right. And okay, that's for that reason it was believed that he could get the senior justice portfolio. Okay.
But well, the suggestion now is he's getting housing. Just very briefly, Louise, what time is the announcement expected of the ministerial positions?
So we are due back in the door at 4:58. If today's business is anything to go by, nothing has started on time. So we'll see how we go. But there is also, I think, a pressure to get all this wrapped up because people want to get on the road. They want to get home before the bad weather starts. So it's expected to start on time, if possible, okay, and wind up as quick as possible. But we'll see how we go.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Louise Byrne. At the top of the show, we heard audio of the County Court of Verona Murphy explaining how she managed to sort things out to get the Dáil running again today. And it meant, of course, that Micheál Martin became Taoiseach. So we have Seamus McGrath of Fianna Fáil with us. But before we talk to him, Matt Carthy, the Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, is with us. Matt, all of the shenanigans yesterday, were they really required and appropriate given what was at stake?
They weren't required in the sense that the matter should have been resolved before we met yesterday. We had informed government very clearly over the course of the past week in particular, but in fact as soon as Michael Lowry and his group of government support and independents indicated that they wanted to be in government but also in opposition at the same time, eating into the resources and speaking time of the opposition. So there was ample opportunity, ample call, space for government to have resolved the issue before we met yesterday. In fact, it was just the absolute arrogance of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that felt because they had the numbers in terms of government support that they would be able to ride roughshod over the opposition. And they were proposing and endorsing a situation that wouldn't be tolerated by any credible opposition in any functional parliament in the world. So in terms of yesterday, I think it was imperative that the opposition united took the stand that we did, because had we not, we would have had that ludicrous situation in my view, because it was crystal clear to us that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were going to stand over the situation, where Michael Lowry and his team of independents, who had sat down, negotiated a programme for government, had secured themselves a number of ministerial posts, secured themselves pay rises in those posts, had committed to endorsing the government through good days and bad, and yet were intending to take up, as I say, resources and speaking time that is allocated to the opposition. So,
Matt, would it have been possible to have continued your protest about that after allowing the election of the Taoiseach to first take place, rather than having the circus that we had yesterday when people expected that to take place?
No, unfortunately not. And I know that the scenes were unseemly. I know that people would not like to see those scenes unfold in the way they did. But I think, and certainly the reaction I have been getting is that most people understand that Sinn Féin and the rest of the opposition had to take a stand. We had to let the government and the Cathain Comhairle know that the proposal that Michael Lowry's group would be allowed to be in government and opposition at the same time was unacceptable. And it's my view very clearly, and I believe this 100%, that had the election of Taoiseach gone ahead yesterday before this matter was resolved, then it wouldn't have been resolved. Michael Lowry would be standing today with one foot in both government and another in opposition, and that would have been untenable. It would have undermined the entire basis of parliamentary democracy, and it would have been an absolute ludicrous situation that I don't think any of us could have stood over. And I would argue that the opposition would not have been doing our job had we not done what we did yesterday. So in fact, what we had was opposition did our job yesterday. Government had failed to do their job beforehand by resolving this matter.
Seamus Weara, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork South Central. What's your response to that? That this had to be done because the government had failed to resolve the situation, a situation which might look fairly obvious to everyone on the outside, that you can't sign up to be part of government and then demand the right to be sitting on the opposition benches in the Dáil.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. And look, first of all, if I can just congratulate Micheál Martin on becoming Taoiseach. He is a constituency colleague of mine. It's a great honour for him and his family to become Taoiseach for the second time. And obviously, I wish him very well over the course of the term. Look, just on the issue of yesterday, I mean, I believe it was not a place to do what was done yesterday in the Dáil. I listened to some experienced parliamentarians. They said they have never seen a day like it. It was unseemly. It was unnecessary. The opposition made their point very clear. I believe there was good faith shown on the part of the Ceann Comhairle and the government chief whip to resolve the issue. Unfortunately, that wasn't good enough yesterday, and the scenes unfolded as they did. It was unnecessary, and it should have been avoided. But thankfully, proceedings went well today, and we have a government. We have a Taoiseach elected.
But can you address the central issue for me? How can you have a group of people as part of the government, supporting the government, who then want to be on the opposition benches to get speaking time at the expense of those who are genuinely in opposition to the government?
Yeah, well, as you know, Matt, there is precedent on this issue, but to be fair, the opposition have made their point very loud and clear, and I think it has been listened to, and there was a resolution found today, and I think that's important. Look, the most important function of a government when it sits for the first time after a general election is to elect a Taoiseach. That didn't happen yesterday. It should have. It didn't, but it did happen today, and that's the important thing. And there has been good faith now shown in terms of resolving this issue in the very near future, and I think that's the important thing. We need to get on with running the country. We need to get on with governing. We have very, very important issues that need to be addressed, and everybody wants to do that.
Back to you, Matt Carty. What about the position now of the Ceann Comhairle? Because there are quite a few listeners getting in touch saying that the way she was treated was unfair to her as an individual.
I think Verona Murphy ended up in a very difficult situation. I'll acknowledge that. And part of the reason for that, of course, was that her election as Ceann Comhairle was essentially part of that overall arrangement that was put in place between Michael Lowry's group of independents and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So there was a particular focus on whether or not she would act in a way that was very clearly seen to be fair and impartial in respect of an issue of this magnitude. And, you know, I have to say, you know, to me, I think it is crucially important that this was resolved for all the reasons I've said. But I don't want to be wasting my energy in a fight about speaking time or procedures in the Dáil. I know that a lot of people, you know, think that's bubble politics stuff. I want to be able to represent the people of my own constituency and bring forward Sinn Féin.
But Matt, can I ask?
But this is crucial. What government were attempting to do was undermine and reduce the ability of the genuine opposition to hold them to account and to do those things. And therefore, it was imperative that we took a stand. The Ceann Comhairle got caught in the crossfire. This was essentially fiasco of the making of Micheál Martin, Simon Harris.
Okay, you've made that point, but I think, Matt, what a lot of people want to know, is this going to be the approach of Sinn Féin as the leading party in the opposition to debating the government in the lifetime of this Dáil? Are you going to be more aggressive, perhaps, than you might have been in the last Dáil?
No, we'll challenge the government when the government need to be challenged, and that is the job of opposition. We will also bring forward our proposals. We have, you know, on an annual basis, we bring forward an alternative budget, something that most opposition parties in the world don't do to the level that we do in terms of a comprehensive, fully costed alternative budget, so that we government can see precisely what it is we're proposing in terms of our manifestos and setting out, you know, our alternative proposals, which were our election manifesto is actually much more detailed than the actual programme for government that is now in place. What you will see in Sinn Féin is what we have always been, but which somehow perhaps got lost a little bit, is that we will be constructive when there is cause to be, but we will absolutely robustly challenge the government, and rightly so. Because
okay, well, Seamus McGrath, can I go back to you? Are you happy enough that that's appropriate for Sinn Féin in opposition to take the fight to the government?
Of course. I mean, that's their role in opposition. I fully understand that. But what we saw yesterday isn't in that space, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the charge against the government was that they were undertaking some undemocratic practice in terms of speaking rights. But what was undemocratic yesterday was the Cion Cóirle being ignored, the Cion Cóirle being shouted at, the Cion Cóirle being, you know, disrespectfully treated in the chamber. That's what was undemocratic. Okay. We had a general election. People spoke. There were enough members in that Parliament yesterday to elect a Taoiseach, we weren't allowed to do it.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Seamus McGrath, Fianna Fáil, Matt Carty of Sinn Féin. Let's move to the formation of the government. Belatedly, Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, is with us. And there are some surprises in the cabinet, particularly on the Fianna Fáil side. But quickly go through the Fine Gael appointments first, please, because I think they're very much as expected, aren't they?
They are as expected, Matt. So, as we had discussed previously on the show, that the outgoing Taoiseach, or the now former Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has become Taoiseach, a Minister for Foreign Affairs. We know that the trade element that had been sitting in the Department of Enterprise is now moving over to his department, and he will take charge of that. As expected, Pascal Donoghue returns to the Department of Finance. That will mean now he's already completed 8 budgets between finance and public expenditure and reform. So if he serves a full term, he will have done 13 budgets in total, which would be a record should he see out the full term. Helen McEntee, the deputy leader of Fine Gael, is moving from the Department of Justice to the Department of Education. Excuse me. Peter Burke is the only minister staying put. He's staying in Enterprise and Employment, and they're taking in tourism into that remit. Patrick O'Donovan is moving to the Department of Arts, Culture and Communications, and will have responsibility for the media as well. Martin Hayden, as expected, has been appointed Minister for Agriculture, and Jennifer Carr McNeill, as expected, has been appointed the Minister for Health. So Fine Gael have 7 seats at the cabinet table. We know Fianna Fáil have 8. I suppose the surprises are much more on the Fianna Fáil side rather than the Fine Gael side.
Have the appointments been officially announced as yet?
They have, yes. So okay. Micheál Martin's on his feet. He's on his feet at the moment.
All right.
And he's already read into the Dáil Records the names. So there has been some reallocation of some of the additional responsibilities for each of the departments. But as I've outlined them there to you on the Fine Gael side, their primary responsibilities are there. So, you know, someone will have additional responsibilities. For example, like trade moving into foreign affairs with Simon Harris.
Now, on the Fianna Fáil side, there are some surprises. The first one is that Mary Butler has not been promoted to a full ministry. She's to be the chief whip, which is one of those so-called super junior positions, which means she sits at cabinet but without a vote. Given the need for some sort of gender situation, why has she not been promoted? What happened there?
And that's a big curious one, because we were expecting, and certainly all the sort of consensus building around the makeup of the 8 Fianna Fáil senior cabinet ministers, but that they would at least have to have 2 female candidates or 2 female TDs in those positions. And Mary Butler was seen as the favoured choice after Norma Foley, who remains a cabinet, albeit she's moving to the Department of Children and Disability. It is some surprise that she's only in the chief whip position. She will have a super junior position and she will have ministerial responsibilities. But Micheál Martin, for his wisdom, has decided to appoint 6 men, 7 including himself. They are Jim O'Callaghan into Justice, which is somewhat of a surprise. James Brown going to Housing.
Which is a very big surprise.
It is a surprise, but in a way, you know, he had performed well in the junior justice portfolio. He was in the negotiating team for Fianna Fáil during the talks and was seen as a sort of a steady hand. And his stock is certainly on the rise. Dara Bryan is moving out of Housing.
Is that an admission of failure on his part, particularly something we'll be discussing with Ian Guider after 6 o'clock, after the revelation earlier today that the housing figures are well below the government projections for 2024?
it could be seen as that, but certainly I think word was emerging within the last week or so that Darragh Brown wanted out of housing for whatever reason. Publicly, I think he was saying he wanted to stay, but I think privately behind the scenes, there was definitely a move for him to get out. And there had been some suggestion that he wanted to go to the Department of Justice, but obviously Jim O'Callaghan, who is a senior counsel, has gotten the nod there. So he's going to Transport, which is probably a more positive and less probably controversy-led portfolio. So Darragh Brown, you know, will have responsibility for delivering major capital infrastructure projects like Metro North, Lewis Lines, etc. like that. So, and, you know, he's sort of seen as this sort of, you know, get-up-and-go kind of minister. He did, in a way, make life difficult for the officials in the Department of Housing. I suppose he could point to turning the tide or turning the corner, so to speak, in terms of housing delivery. I mean, it is up compared to where it was. It certainly isn't fixed. But certainly James Brown, I think, will be able to kind of pick up the cudgels in housing.
Okay.
Probably will see the benefit of that. Another big surprise from the Fianna Fáil side is Dara Cleary's inclusion. I mean, he was a super junior. Obviously, his last all term was a bit of a roller coaster.
You know, well, he was a minister until Golfgate.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think back even to the first day, remember the controversy around his appointment as Chief Whip was seen as a kind of a major sort of controversy because Micheál Martin at that point put Stephen Donnelly into the senior cabinet ahead of him. He obviously aired his disappointment, was promoted a few weeks later after Barry Cowan was essentially sacked over his drink driving issue and his refusal to be accountable to the Dáil. And then Dara Cleary was gone 5 or 6 weeks later on foot of the Golfgate issue. He then was reappointed as a junior minister and then reappointed up into the super junior minister. So, I mean, he literally came forward full circle from where he was in 2020, but he is seen as a very, very high, competent individual. He's not particularly well liked by Micheál Martin. There has been animosity between the two, but he now is in Social Protection and Rural Affairs. Jack Chambers will rotate with Pascal Donoghue and is going into the Public Expenditure and Reform. He will have a key minister because he's there now charged with the delivery of infrastructure projects, etc. like that. And there's been a lot of criticisms about the sort of what's known as the dead hand of DPIR, saying no to everything, slowing everything down. So there'll be a lot of attention and focus on him as to his ability to actually unlock the logjams within the system.
Okay.
And get things moving.
And then there's two more Fianna Fáil ones that I want to look at. Higher education, the promotion of James Lawless, not particularly unexpected, but it means Charlie McConnellogue loses out.
So Charlie McConnellogue is the only sitting Fianna Fáil minister to not be reappointed to the cabinet. Now, I think supporters of Charlie McConnellogue will say that's deeply unfair given, he held a season in Donegal against the odds with Micah and, you know, farmer protests, etc. like that. I think his detractors will say that he was not seen to be particularly effectual in the role as agricultural minister. You know, and there's big issues coming down the line in terms of nitrates and in terms of CAP reform, etc. like that. So he may see himself as somewhat unfortunate as having to lose out in relation to that. Norma Foley, as I said, is moving from education to the Department of Children and Disability. She is a Micheál Martin stalwart and loyalist, so she was never not going to be in cabinet. And ultimately, as you said, Mary Butler takes up the cudgels as Chief Whip. Now, in most governments, and particularly in coalition governments, the role of Chief Whip is often underestimated. It plays a crucial role in making sure the Dáil works effectively, votes are carried, etc. like that. So Mary Butler is going to be one very busy person over the next 4 or 5 years as Chief Whip.
One final question, prompted by something Alan in Swords texts in. With Michael Lowry involved in propping up the government, I will never vote for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael again. He represents an era of politics that should be shunned, not rewarded. They have not read the room in this one, I'm afraid. Not a chance of this government going full term. I wonder, are they just in a situation whereby now that they've got the regional independence on board, they can be confident of going 5 years? Or could things unravel, particularly if the economic situation deteriorates and they don't have the tax revenues anymore to spend in the future?
I think there's two things in that. One, I think history has shown that the likes of Michael Healy Ray, Michael Lowry, and those sort of unaligned independents or regional independents have proven themselves to be extremely loyal and solid even when times are tough, even when all government backbenches have wobbled in the past over key issues, they have committed their support to government and have stuck with them through thick and thin. And that was the sort of the tone given by that group when they were out on the plains following the conclusion of the programme for government talks. You know, the controversy around Michael Lowry is not new. Micheál Martin himself described him as someone basically unfit to be in Dáil Éireann and called on him to resign his seat in 2011. He did not do so. The response back from government since then has been, listen, he has been returned time and time again by the people of Tipperary, often tops the poll, so he has a mandate as much as anybody else to be in Dáil Éireann. But I mean, like, this is a stick that the opposition can beat the government with over, and they've done it very, very aggressively over the last 24 hours. Whether or not this government is stable, look at the margin of victory for Micheál Martin in terms of becoming Taoiseach. It was 95-76. That's a sizable buffer that any government can now look to and say, listen, we're solid as a rock here for 4 or 5 years if we want to be. There's little or no chance of this government, unless a major controversy erupts, but I think there's little or no chance of this government falling. Or, you know, there will obviously be casualties, or there'll obviously be kind of people who fall away. But look, that's a sizable majority that they know they can rely on, not necessarily all within the government ranks, but, you know, from in, you know, online independence. So I think they can confidently get on with their programme for government and look to a five-year term at best if they want to go there.
Thank you very much, Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.